You know, it's a blessing. Every breath that we take is a blessing. And, you know, there's a lot of things that I'm uncertain of, but there are some things that I'm very, very certain of, and I'm very certain of the God that we serve. He is still exactly who He says that He is. There's still a heaven, and there's still a hell. And I am just blessed to be here. Today is a very special day for me. It is July the 28th, and 13 years ago, I gave birth to the most precious, meanest, orneriest little boy that I'm sure has ever walked the planet, and that is Carson Paul. And I'm just so thankful for him to be his mom, and I have learned so much about God just by being a mom. And I'm just going to not worry about being on Facebook and all this stuff, and I'm just going to be a real person. That's the only way anybody really makes it in life, is if you'll just be real.
Hallelujah.
And I had a lot of thoughts going on in my little brain this morning, and one of them was, you know, it just really sucks to give birth to somebody and then you're not with them. You know, I started looking around at life and thinking about the things that I didn't like. And God just corrected me. He said, you know, you've got so much. If you'll just look again. And I'm going to ask each one of you, I'm going to challenge each one of you, look again. Look again. If you're sitting there today and you're thinking, I don't like this, and this isn't right, and this will never be right again, and all this stuff. You know what? The devil will weigh you down if you allow that kind of thinking to come up into your mind. But if you will look again, and you will see what God is doing, and you know what? Everything in life is not going to just be easy. But God is going to be with you. And also, 5 years ago today, I'll never forget it either. I stepped behind this pulpit for the first time as the pastor. And I remember that service. I remember the rawness of all of it. And, you know, to say a testimony, I can just say that God has been with me. And that has made the biggest difference. God has been with me through thick and thin, through mistakes. I've made mistakes. I've done stupid things. I haven't always been the best pastor, but what I can say is God has been true and God has been faithful. And there, I can just tell you, if you're going through a hard time right now, there's going to be a day where you step back and you look at the season that you're in right now and you're going to say, God, I thank you because that hard season gave me something that I could never have had without it. And you know what? The trial of your faith is one of the most valuable things that you'll ever have because it's making you who you are. This morning I want to preach about how life is just a mess. Is life messy for y'all? Because life is messy. I mean, it's messy physically, and it's messy in every other way. The more I look at life and the more I look at everything that goes on in the world, I think more than I think about anything else is it's just messy. Things have gotten very sloppy, very messy, and I want to preach about that mess. Recently, I finally have sold my home that I've been wanting to sell for a year and a half. And I think one of the most overwhelming things is to move out of a place. Oh, Larry, Mary, can you agree? I mean, it's just like so much stress and so much overwhelm. And I have been trying to move out of this place for like a year and a half, and it has taken a year and a half because there are certain places, there's just certain things that even to go in the home itself and in some of the rooms itself was just too much emotionally, and I just couldn't do it. And that's why it's taken a year and a half. And I guarantee you that's why it's taken a year and a half for it to sell. But as I have been moving things and selling things and donating a whole lot of things to Savers, I have looked around, and so many times I've thought, I don't even know where to start, because this is just, it's all a mess. And I'd come down to the church, and I'd look at other things that I was having to get ready, like the backpacks and all this stuff, and, well, there was a mess there, too. And then I'd go to where I'm actually living, and that's a real big mess. I mean, there's just laundry everywhere. There's stuff everywhere. I would be embarrassed for anybody to come over, because it's just an absolute disaster. And Frank is a very tidy person, but I am just a handful, and the whole place is just a disaster. It's a mess. And he doesn't like it. I don't like it. Mary, there's piles of clothes everywhere. I mean, it is looks like the bodega up in Mexico when we went on the mission trip up there when I was a teenager. And we walked in this big warehouse, and they said, okay, just start folding and bagging up these clothes. And we were like, where do we start? We've never seen nothing like it. That's how it is right now with me. But God has been ministering to me about the messy parts of life. And I would like for y'all to turn with me to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 3. And I want to pull out this morning everything that we go through and everything that we face takes a decision. And you have to have a certain mindset to be successful with whatever you're going through. So the first thing that I want to tell you about life's messiness is to be real with them. Be real with them. If you're in a messy season right now, stop trying to say, I'm fine. If you're not fine, stop saying that you are. If everything's not okay, stop saying everything's okay. Because what is happening in our society is people more and more are getting less social, less human interaction, more technological interaction. People don't know how to be social anymore. Therefore, we have lots of social anxiety. And more importantly, people don't know how to just be honest. They just don't know how to be honest because we're more concerned with making ourselves look like we've got it all together than actually doing the hard work and getting it all together. Amen. We're too concerned about how things look than just having a good, wholesome life. And so the first thing that I want to say about life's messiness is be real with yourself and acknowledge the mess. Acknowledge it. You know, the Word of God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And I would like to tell you this morning, you know what? Acknowledge what's going on in your life. It's your life. Acknowledge it. Ignorance is not bliss. If everything's not right with you, stop telling yourself that everything's okay. Because, see, one of these days you're going to wake up in a disaster of a life and you're not going to even notice or recognize your own life. And it's because we have not been real with ourselves. We have to be real about it. If you need to have a moment where you just cry and be mad about it, cry and be mad about it, but at least do something. You know how many people, they're so numbed over, they just can't feel anything. Be real about it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it tells us right here. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Now, I'm a very realistic pastor. And if I was to say, okay, everybody raise your hand if you've ever been drunk, I would be willing to bet that every about 50% at least would raise their hand. But I'm not going to ask you that today because I really don't care if you've ever been drunk or not. The more important thing is, are you drunk when you're examining your life? Because see, the Word of God, it tells us to think of yourself with sober judgment. Sober judgment. So if you've got something going on with yourself and you're drunk as a skunk when you're examining your life, your perception of yourself is going to be off. Why do you think they make you walk a line when they pull you over? They want to see how drunk you are. Some of us could not spiritually walk a straight line if our life depended on it, because we haven't looked at our life in sober judgment. The Word says, judge yourself and I wouldn't have to judge you. But there's too many, and I'm not even concerned today about the non-believer. I'm wanting to get all the believers on the right bus, okay? And that's the bus to heaven. A lot of believers are very drunk when it comes to their own life. And many people that are good, saved people, they cannot look at their life and say, you know what? I'm missing it. I'm not right. You got to keep it real. You got to keep it real or you're going to be deceiving yourself. Go with me down to Psalms chapter 51. We're going to look at verse 6. In Psalms chapter 51, verse 6, it says, surely you desire truth in the inner parts. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You know, God has desires when it comes to you. How many of you are parents here? God has desires when it comes to you. To us as his kids. Brother Mike, you've got 5 boys. Do you have desires for your boys? Tell me one desire that you have as a dad. He wants all of his boys to serve God. Now the Word says, if you being natural human fathers, if you're all these things, how much more can God be towards us? God has desires when it comes to his children. One of his desires is this right here. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. Truth. Does God want to bless you? Yes. Does he want you to have a great life? Yes. But you know what God also wants? He wants truth to be so up inside of you that when you know what, when you're looking at something that you did wrong, you're not sweeping over it and saying, well, I was justified by doing this. No, you're able to say, I was dead wrong. I was dead wrong. Because a lot of times messes go on in our life because we were unable to just say, I didn't judge that correctly. I didn't handle that right. We go through life and we're just going along and we're living. And we're just going, Miss Sherry. And before you know it, something happens and we look and we got lots of messes. And then we'll go back and we'll try to clean up the mess. And we'll be cleaning it and we'll be whatever. And then we'll go on and the mess never stops. You can't sit there and think that life isn't going to be messy. Because, see, the Word tells us there's going to be trials and there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be a mess. Because a message never turns into a message without a mess. A testimony never can come about without a test. But what God needs is he needs his kids to be sober when they're looking at their life. So surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. In the inmost place. I encourage y'all to invite God into that place where he can give you some wisdom. I can look back, and Kelly, Pastor Kelly 5 years ago, is not Pastor Kelly today. And thank God for that. There's been some wisdom and there's been some growth that has taken place. We have to have wisdom to know how to handle the mess. You're not going to get wisdom any other way other than just getting right in God's lap and spending time with him. I have people. How many of you have got people in your life and you're very concerned about them? I've got people that I really, really love and I'm very, very concerned. One day when I was growing up, I got off the school bus and I walked in my mom and dad's house, and Dad was always there when we got off the school bus, and he wanted to know how our day was. And I walked in, and I could just see on his face something was wrong. And I said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "Well, so-and-so has got such-and-such going on," and it was someone in the church. And at that time, I was just a dumb kid, and I thought, I don't know why he's so wrapped up with everybody in the church. That's not his problem. He just needs to move on, and don't worry about them. That's their problem. So I told them that bit of advice. I said, "You don't need to worry about them. He goes, "You don't understand. My pastor's heart will not allow me to just let them go. I understand that now." There have been many, many times in the last 5 years where I've gone to God and I've said, "God, what do you want me to do about this person? I'm really worried about them." And God has said, "Nothing. I don't want you to do anything right now." You know, there's times where we got to have some wisdom because people's lives hang in the balance. Their souls hang in the balance. Have I gotten that right every time? No, I've had some knee-jerk reactions that I'm not real proud of. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 11 through 13. Keep it real with yourself. The second point that I want to bring out about the mess is that, you know, through every season of your life, there is a place of peace in every season. It doesn't matter if you are going through the best thing in your life and everything is going good, or if you are going through the storm of a lifetime and you've never been through something like that, there's still a place of peace. There is a place of peace. If you're in a mess today, if you're in something that is so much bigger than you and it just looks like it's just so big, be at peace. Be at peace with the mess right now. I'm not asking you to like it. I'm not asking you to get on board with the things that are wrong. But you cannot lose your peace when you're going through the battle. You need the peace. You have got to be at peace when you are in that battle. Be at peace with it. There's going to be times in your life where you're going through it and you're just going to be tempted to look at all of the problems and all of the mess. And what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to say, it is still well with my soul. It is still well. There have been a lot of times over the past 5 years where I have been very disheartened by things and by people. And Bobby, I've had to make a conscious decision to say, you know what, God, this is really a mess. And Lord, I have no clue how you're going to fix this one, because this one is just outrageous. But I've had to make a decision to go on despite what the mess was. What the mess was. If you stop every time there's a little mess, you're never going to get very far. But you've got to get to that place where you've got peace throughout that. What is the devil going after first? Your peace. If the devil can get your peace, he can get into your actions and get you acting like a straight-up fool. Amen. How many of you, you've acted like a straight-up fool at times and lived to regret it? Me too. I'm glad we're all being honest today. But we got to learn how to have peace. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I've learned to be content. I've learned to be at peace. I've learned to keep my cool. I've learned to keep my mouth shut. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. The next point that I'm going to make is crucial, because it's where people miss it the most. So we just read a verse that says, whatever the circumstances, I've learned to be content. Stop letting your circumstances shape your opinion of God. I'm going to read that a couple more times because that needs to sink into some folks. Stop letting your circumstance shape your opinion about God. I'm going to say it one more time. Stop letting your circumstance shape your opinion about God. If every time you're walking through life's messes and what you think about God changes just depending on whether or not you're going through it or not, you're not really saved. See, because on your worst day, you've got to still know that He is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's still the healer. He's still the provider. If your circumstances, what you think about God, is depending on what you're going through, that's a problem. That's a problem. If your circumstances shape how you view God, that's an issue. Because see, the Word of God already tells you you're going to have some problems. You're going to have trials, and you're going to have tribulation. And when you have them trials and you have them tribulations, you can't think that Daddy God's a mean God and He don't like you. Because you're going to go through some stuff. And you got to stay a hold of who He is. Sometimes the mess that we're going through, we made it ourselves. Sometimes the mess that we're going through, somebody else made it for us. But whatever the mess is, find that place of peace. Be realistic about that mess. And don't let what you think about God be dependent on what's going on in the mess. You know how many people, I'm going to just be really raw and I'm going to be really real. That's going to help you better than if I just get up here and try to dance around what really needs to be said. Amen. God wants His kids saved to the bone. Saved to the very core of who we are. With every fiber of our being. Dad pastored this church for 30-something years. He's still a pastor here. He has been my pastor the whole time. Do you know how many times he has offended the absolute crap out of me? He said he's so sorry. Do you know how many times I have offended the absolute crap out of him?
Never.
Hallelujah. A lot. Here's what I can tell you. There ain't a problem on God's green earth between the pastor or me or whomever that I'm going to allow that to yank my butt up out of church where I belong. Because there's a standard. See, the same standard that we want God to raise for our sake when the enemy comes in like a flood. See, that standard that we're wanting God to raise up when we're going through it, there's also a standard that we got to raise up. See, and you got to be saved to the bone. I'm not telling you got to be perfect. Because look here, I ain't perfect. I'm the furthest thing from it. That's why God made me the pastor. He's like, Kelly, you're the worst one. I'm going to make you the pastor. Because if I don't save you and deliver you, you're going to be a great heathen, and we don't want that for you. I'm going to make you the pastor. Let me tell you something. More than ever before, I feel in my soul there is really a heaven and there is really a hell. Get yourself. Life is messy, Lisa. Isn't life messy? It's messy. Sometimes it's just a lot. But despite the mess, God's still on the throne. It don't matter how many people rip my heart out and make me feel like I'm no good. Billy, at the end of the day, God is still who He said He is. And God is still going to do for me what He said He's going to do. And that ain't dependent on the mess. That ain't dependent on Sally Sue. It ain't dependent on Brother Angelo. It ain't dependent on a human being on this planet. God is still God despite whatever goes on. I'm addressing the believer today. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, and here it is, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. If you're looking at your mess and you're going, I'm just not strong enough to live through this messy season, let me tell you something, you are, because the God inside of you is giving you the strength. No, you don't have it on your own. That's why I'd encourage you not to leave Him high and dry when you get your little feelings hurt. Keep God, because see, that God is the only one that's going to help you with the mess. I have learned that I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. I can do all things. I can do all things. See, if you will start telling yourself, I can do this, and stop telling yourself, I can't do this, you're going to have a way better time. And I promise you, you can do it. You can do it. Dwayne preached a couple Sunday nights ago, and I thought that he did great. I felt like I had just watched my own kid do it. I couldn't have been prouder of him. And he said something that was very right on. He said, you know what, every problem is just an opportunity. Don't look at your problems like, oh my gosh, God is not a good God anymore. Look at this problem. Or, I can't do this. This is too much. No, you can do it. Not only can you do it, but you're going to do it. Not only are you going to do it, but you're going to thrive while you're doing it. I told God 5 years ago, Lord, if you can ever, ever get me out of this season where we're all wearing these face masks and everybody's worried about where they're sitting and who's coughing, God, I'm going to be thrilled. Well, look here. God got me through that, Bobby. But look here. Now there's other things. But I'm a little bit more mature than I used to be. I just tell God, God, that's your problem. God, you called me, and when you called me, you didn't call me to kill me. And I'm convinced if I worry about this stuff, that's exactly what it's going to do. Whatever the circumstances, stop letting your circumstances shape your opinion of God. Make peace with where you're at right now. Make peace with where you're at right now. Go with me to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 6. The next point that I'm going to bring out is be sure that the mess will turn into a message. You got to be sure of that. Be sure that the test is going to turn into a testimony. How many of you have ever been in a weird testimony service? Oh, yeah. I've been in some very weird testimony services. And I try not to have, Kayla, them testimony services live. Because you cannot predict what people are going to say. But some of us, we need to understand what a testimony really is. Because, see, a testimony is when God done brought you through something and there was no other way that it could have happened but God. When I was a kid, we had this little lady. I love her. She's still living, but she don't live here. She was the candy lady. Those of you that grew up with her, you know who I'm talking about. She was great. But she would stand up. And she used to sit right over there, right where Russell and Penny are sitting. And one day she stood up, and I'll never forget it because I just laughed about it, and I still laugh about it to this day. She goes, I just want to thank God that I bought the wrong size of that blouse at Walmart. And I took it back to Walmart, and I had the receipt, and they took it back. And I just want to thank God for that. And I went home and I thought to myself, that is not a testimony. That is called a Walmart return policy. God didn't have to do nothing with Walmart. They done took that blouse back because you had the receipt, sister. See, we don't... We need to recognize what's God in our life, what's the devil in our life, and give the right credit to whomever. And there's too many believers giving the devil too much credit for things he didn't do. And then there's too many believers that have nothing good to say about God because they don't know what God does and what he doesn't because they don't get to know God. be sure that the mess will turn into a message and the test will turn into a testimony. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. There's some things that I'm very sure of. I'm still sure that God's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. It don't matter if it takes 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, or one day. God is still going to do what he said. The important thing for the believer is to be able to know, what did God say? What did he say? You're not going to fall into that kind of life by accident that you want. You're going to have to seek after God with everything that you have. With everything that you got. Psalms chapter 27. I was cleaning yesterday, and I was just looking, and it was just all messy. Do y'all get overwhelmed easy? I do. I was just looking around. Frank told me to stay in the house and make sure that, he's like, I want to be able to go in this house. When you go into the garage, by the time I see you into the garage, everything should be done in the house. Well, I kept going in the garage because my squirrel brain couldn't focus on the house because I was focusing on the garage. And then I got in the garage and I got overwhelmed there. And I was like, I'm going to go back in the house. And I just kept going back and forth. And finally, I thought, I'm just going to have to go back to Frank and ask him what it was he wanted me to do to begin with. Where was I supposed to be? What did he want me to? This is all my junk, but what does he want me to do? Because at this point, I surrender. I just want to be out of here. I just want to be able to go on with my life. This has been a mess. Baby, where did you tell me to be in this house? Because I got to get this stuff cleaned up. What are we doing? He said, just stay in the house, okay? I'm going to bring in some boxes for you. Put all your junk in the boxes. He's like, we're going to have three piles. Savers, getting rid of, throwing away, and coming down to the lake house. He said, that's the only thing you need to worry with. And I just kept saying, God, help me go back to you every time I get up in the middle of a mess and I get overwhelmed with this. Because, see, if you keep going back to all the things that we could go to, life's going to keep being messy. When we shut that door yesterday to the house part, it was done. Psalms chapter 27, verse 13 and 14. I am still confident of this. Here he is, and he's saying, I'm still confident. After everything I've been through, after all the heartache, after all the depression, after all the sadness, after all the things that came up in life I didn't expect, I am still confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It don't matter the mess you're going through. It don't matter who stabbed you in the back. It don't matter what happened at work. It don't matter what's going on in your family even. Are you still confident? Are you still confident? Are you going through the mess and you're losing your confidence? Are you still confident this morning? Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. I'm going to read that verse 14 one more time. Wait for the Lord. People in here and you're going, what do I do, God? Where do I go next? What's going on? What do I need to do? Here it is. Wait for the Lord. Wait for Him. Wait for Him. Be strong and take heart and once again and wait for the Lord. Wait on God. He will not be a moment late. Not one moment late. Pray one last prayer over this service. Y'all stretch your hands to our Jill over here. I know you're sad and hurting this morning, and I don't even have to know anymore. God, in Jesus' name, I just speak right now of peace and a comfort. Lord, I ask you to do what only you can do, God, right now. And Lord, whatever's going on, I thank you, Lord, that that heaviness is coming off in the name of Jesus. Lord, anybody that's being away to her, God, I ask that you'd stop that right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all stand to your feet. We have got some of the best turkey lunch meat that I have seen in a really long time. And we have got a ton of it. Literally a ton. I mean, it is just a lot. If you will give us about 3 minutes, we will get everything ready. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for every person here. Lord, I thank you that you are perfecting everything that concerns us. God, every hurt, every distraction, every disappointment, every what if, Lord, you are already on all of that. So, God, we're going to choose today to live this sermon out, to go on, and to just have joy and have peace. In Jesus' name, amen.